Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll see how Minnesota National Guard volunteers are mentoring kids in math and science, and we'll meet Minnesota's Veterans for Veterans organization. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since the Revolutionary War, and every conflict since, Black service members have not only answered the call to serve, but have lifted the Star-Spangled Banner to great heights. Our flag is not one color, though the threads are made of the same fibers. Different colors intertwine to create a bold, vibrant symbol of inspiration for our nation. The Minnesota National Guard is much the same. The Guard finds its strength not only in its diversity, but in its ability to weave together people of different faiths, cultures, and races that share common threads, values, and love of service. In the National Guard, we continually strive to enlist men and women of all backgrounds. Our goal, to reflect Minnesota's diverse population in our ranks, is ever present. This is Black History Month. It's time for us to reflect and to celebrate those that paved the way toward diversity. A time to remember the Black service members who stepped forward willingly to serve our country, to fight for our flag, even though our country wasn't willing to defend their rights. This is a time to appreciate diversity today.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota National Guard provides a facility and volunteers for the Starbase Minnesota program. Starbase Minnesota provides intensive 5-day, 20-hour, hands-on and inquiry-based science, math, technology, and engineering programs for grades 4 and 5. All curriculum is assigned with national and state standards. Joining me now to discuss Starbase Minnesota is Kim Van Wee, Executive Director, Starbase Minnesota, and Senior Master Sergeant Tony Pacheco from the Minnesota National Guard. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
Kim, can you give us a little background? What is Starbase?
Well, Starbase is a program of the Department of Defense, and it's hosted by the Minnesota National Guard at the 133rd Airlift Wing. And its purpose is to help educate and inspire youth in science, technology, engineering, and math, and that's commonly known as STEM right now. And this will help them in school and in their future employee positions, in their future jobs, work, and in life.
And Kim, when did this program start?
The program started in 1993, and since that time, we've served about 45,000 students at Starbase.
Now, you operate out of a facility on the 133rd campus?
Yes, it's a wonderful facility that was recently renovated with the help of Congressman Ellison and with the Department of Defense and Military Affairs. We wanted to have the students be completely immersed in STEM as soon as they walked in our doors. In fact, we wanted to give them just a unique experience that you can't find anywhere else. So there's definitely a wow factor involved when you walk into the Starbase facility. And then the 133rd Airlift Wing provides this incredible backdrop of aerospace resources that you can't find anywhere else.
Sergeant Pacheco, how did the Minnesota National Guard become involved in Starbase Minnesota?
Well, Tom, the Minnesota Air National Guard became involved when Starbase came out in 93. Although I wasn't involved at the time, I did hear about Starbase. It would have been probably 2002 or so when I started to do volunteer work with Starbase. And then I actually became the Air Guard liaison between the 133rd and Starbase. After my predecessor, she left for a leave of absence, and I took over. And I've been working now for, seems like it's been, 5 years at least? At least 5 years now. And my job basically is to get volunteers. And I do get volunteers for graduation speaking. Generally, when the kids finish their week-long program, my job is to get volunteers that will come in and speak to the kids about their experiences with STEM and the jobs they may do. And then as well, we play a game at the end, and the kids get to ask my folks questions, and we ask them questions. It's really it's a interactive type of a game, and I've done that several times, and I guess for me it's gotten easier over the course of the years. When I first started, I was very nervous about it, especially talking to the kids, because I'm not generally a person who likes to speak in front of a group. But over the years, I've gotten pretty decent at it, and I get some positive feedback, and generally all the time from the staff at Starbase. We do quite a bit. My staff of volunteers does quite a bit by, getting volunteers to speak, or we do our C-130 tours that we put on in the summer program. And then that's a big process in itself, and I get volunteers that come out of the woodwork to do that. They love it. And then for everything from my machine shop guys or my sheet metal folks, we help Starbase with little projects they may have that they can't get the money for.
Sergeant Pacheco, Kim's smiling over here. I'm trying to imagine a senior master sergeant of the Minnesota National Guard getting nervous talking to 54th or 5th graders. This doesn't add up, does it?
It did at first, Tom. You know, it's just a matter of getting out there and really... I guess it would be worse probably, I think it's worse talking to a bunch of kids than it is to probably a room full of NCOs or officers, because the kids are more subjective, I think, than what maybe the officers might be or the enlisted folks. But the kids are great. I mean, I've always had great experiences myself going there when I speak to the kids, and I try to do that myself at least once a month, but you kind of have to break it up to give other people a chance to come out and speak as well.
Good combat training for you, Sergeant.
Exactly.
Kim, when the kids come out to the Starbase, when they enter the facility, what do they see?
Well, first of all, if they look up, they will see a rocket that was printed by Stratasys for Starbase using 3D printers, big printers that are used in industry. But that's one of the things that connects them to the program, because at Starbase, all of the curriculum, which is designed by your instructors and taught by your instructors, is very hands-on, very exciting, integrated with technology. Science, technology, engineering, and math are not independent subjects. They're taught in an integrated fashion and in a way that really makes sense. It's really a way that should be taught in schools, actually, if the schools had the resources for that. The students engage in many different experiments where they learn about Newton's laws, forces of flight, properties of air, states of matter, friction, energy, etc. And then they learn some pretty sophisticated engineering design software, and they make their own prototypes and then print them on our 3D printers. And then they go test them, such as fins for their rockets. So our facility represents the curriculum that they learn and the programs that they do at Starbase Minnesota.
We're speaking with Kim Van Wee and Senior Master Sergeant Tony Pacheco about Starbase Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Kim, how many different classes, how many different schools come out to visit the Starbase and participate in your program?
Well, each year we have about 3,400 students from 30 different schools, and we focus primarily on Minneapolis and St. Paul public schools, but also are branching out a little bit more. But for 20 years, there's been a long waiting list of schools trying to attend Starbase. The reason is because we pack so much in those 20 hours and those 5 days that is so relevant to what they need in schools and for learning. So created a high demand, but fortunately, because we've got a staff of 8 very talented instructors, we're able to serve a lot of kids.
Sergeant Pacheco, is it pulling hairs to find volunteers, or do your Minnesota Air National Guardsmen and women line up to do this?
You know, Tom, in the beginning, I think it was probably a little challenging to get volunteers, only because, like myself, people just weren't used to speaking in front of kids, or maybe they thought, well, I can't do that, I don't have the skills for it. But really, it's just a matter of if you have a heart, you can get out there and help these kids. And they love it. We walk in the room and the kids just light up. They see the military. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been saluted by young kids, or, you know, they want pictures, and really it's kind of, I almost get embarrassed by it sometimes, because I'm not used to that, you know, be calling sir or this or that. I mean, heck, my kids hardly call me sir at home, let alone the kids there are always calling me sir. But no, the volunteers now, Tom, I mean, I get more volunteers than I actually need at one time, which is great, because then I have reserves for when I run short. I know I can call somebody and say, hey, you know, somebody dropped out, can you step in and maybe talk at a graduation today, or maybe go and help out with whatever they may need? So there's never a shortage for volunteers right now.
So after all these years, it's been accepted, and it's kind of fun to do, and you know how much the kids appreciate it.
It's a great time. Like I said, I think the biggest highlight for the maintenance folks is the C-130 tour. That's what we do as part of the Starbase program. Now, the kids that throughout the year don't necessarily get to come out to our ramp and actually go onto an aircraft, but they do go through the air park, and they do get a chance to go through to the old C-130 parked out there. And I've had the experience of going in and talking to a few kids as they've been in there doing some of their projects. And they have a million questions. I mean, it's just amazing what these kids will ask you.
Kim, Sergeant Pacheco, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about Starbase Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking today about Starbase Minnesota with Kim Van Wee, Executive Director, and Senior Master Sergeant Tony Pacheco from the Minnesota Air National Guard. Sergeant Pacheco, you were telling me about the C-130 tour. So in addition to getting to go to the Starbase and in the facility, when you have a chance, they get to take a tour of some aircraft, and you've got kind of an aircraft museum out there too, don't you?
Right, Tom. There is an air park that's directly adjacent to Starbase. And the kids actually will go out there, and they actually have a book they work off of where they have to find different things, different types of aircraft. The C-130 is out there, and the kids are able to go inside. It's an older aircraft, but they can get inside, and they can get an idea of what it's like to be in a big aircraft. And like I said, I've gone out there several times just to say hi and kind of get, you know, brought into the aircraft. And the kids, they have a ton of questions, and I could talk all day about the C-130. And I try to, but they always give me the cutoff sign and say, "Hey, we got to get going here." But the kids love it, so it's a great place to go. And the kids, I think they get so much out of it just being able to see the different aircraft out there.
So we're training some young spotters to recognize.
We are recruiting a younger age these days, yes, sir.
Kim, you brought a special guest with you today. You want to introduce her for us?
Yes, I'm very happy to have one of our former Starbase students and actually present student, Iman Higar, and she is a fourth grader at Pillsbury School in Minneapolis Public Schools.
Iman, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
You're welcome.
Tell me about your visit to Starbase Minnesota. When did you sign up and when did you go?
Earlier this year in the fall, we went, and I think it was around in September.
Yeah, and you went and spent 5 days out at Starbase, did you?
Uh-huh.
And tell me what that was like. What did you see when you first walked in?
When we first walked in, a lot of kids started pointing up, and when I looked up, I realized there was, like, the bottom of a rocket.
You were looking right into the bottom of a rocket. Was that exciting?
Uh-huh.
What else did you see?
Then when we went in closer, we saw like a bunch of offices. And when we went into the classroom that we were working in, we were like, wow, because it's like computers and a Pranithium board and stuff like that.
It was even more fun than being in school, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the 5 days, what did you learn? What did you find? What did you learn about?
We learned about molecules and like how rockets are made or something. And we even did this project to see what materials would insulate a bottle of water best.
So it was like a real fancy science class, too.
Yeah.
Did you get to make a rocket?
Yeah, we made it out of a piece of cardboard, but we got to, like, design our fins on the computer, and they got printed out in the 3D printer.
A 3D printer? Was that pretty neat?
Yeah, because, like, when we came in the last 2 days left of Starbase, we got to watch them being printed. And it showed, like, which ones were already done and which ones they were still working on.
So you got to see it all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you get to shoot your rocket?
Yeah, at the last day we got to launch our rockets. Like, all the fourth graders went outside and we got to launch our rockets.
So was your whole class there?
Yeah, my whole class and then two other classes.
Oh boy, lots of fun out there for a week. Kim, can you walk us through what type of things do they learn on the first, second, third day? We've heard that the last day is the most fun.
Right. Well, the programs are really designed with this overarching storyline. And the storyline for the fourth grade program that Iman is talking about is learning how to become engineers. And so they're becoming engineers through this practice. And Iman was talking about designing their rocket fins and things like that. It's a series of lessons that all build towards this culminating experience that's a rocket launch. The fifth graders in the next year learn now, because they're engineers, they can design a mission to Mars. And then once they get to Mars, they learn how to sustain life, human life on Mars, that is. So they get into designing, building of a Mars colony, and making decisions about engineering choices on Mars and how they're going to work with renewable energy to sustain life.
So some of these classes come back for more than 1 year?
Yes. The fourth graders come, and they have a completely different program than the fifth graders who come the next year.
Sergeant Pacheco, what part do your volunteers play in this five-day program?
Well, Tom, my volunteers will come in on that fifth day. Generally, they'll get to be involved with the rocket launches. So, and that's usually, there's never a problem to get people for that, because it's always fun to go out there and help kids launch rockets. And actually, you know, my other volunteers actually built a new station to launch rockets a couple of years ago. Before, they used to launch them one at a time, which it took, I don't know, took so much time to do that. Now we have it down where you can launch seven at a time, I think it is.
So yeah. Mini firing range.
Exactly. It's just so much fun. The kids just they have a blast, and I think I get so much out of it too, watching their faces when the rockets take off, and it's just fun for the kids. And so once the rocket launches are done, my folks will come back in the afternoon, whatever time the graduation happens to be, and they'll actually speak to the kids and explain who they are, what they do with the Air Guard, and then they'll actually get into the question and answer type of a game, which deals with the STEM concept, where the kids will get to spin a wheel, and then we pick a question, and the kids will answer our question, and it's vice versa. They'll ask us a question, and we will tell them how, say, engineering helps us in our job.
We're speaking about Starbase Minnesota today on Minnesota Military Radio. Kim, now, after they've been out to Starbase for 5 days, then you follow up. Do you go to the schools?
We do. In the last couple of years, we designed a bit of a pilot program where we're now going into the schools, because they build up all this excitement and energy around STEM in the 5 days that they're at Starbase. Well, we want to keep that fire and love of STEM burning throughout the years, if at all possible. So we go back to the schools. That's where we bring in Minnesota National Guard members to volunteer and then participate in an after-school STEM program that Minneapolis Schools does on their own. The volunteers enhance the program and help as caring adults, and it's just a great relationship they start building with the students.
So, Sergeant Pacheco, your volunteers go back to the schools to get them excited about the second year of the program and what's coming up.
Sure, Tom. There are several that do get involved with the rocket launches that may go out to the school. It's generally, I would say, probably not as big a crowd for that. I've done it several times myself, this year and last year, and it's just satisfaction is going in there and meeting these kids. And you know, at first they're kind of quiet, and then by the time you're towards the end of the program, it's just like you were with your own kids at home. They're just having a blast.
Iman, did you get to participate when the Minnesota National Guard soldiers came out to, or airmen came out to your school?
Yes.
Was that exciting to have them in school?
Yeah, we didn't, my teacher told us they would be coming either on Monday or Wednesday, but since they didn't come on Monday, we thought they would come on Wednesday, but they were a little late, so when we're just working on our stuff, they just pop in and everyone's like, what? We didn't expect you to come.
Sergeant Pacheco, it sounds like you were a little late for muster that day.
Well, Tom, I have to admit, it was, I think, due to a traffic accident that kind of backed us up. I believe it was that day. It must have just happened, because I was stuck in that as well and got there just a little bit late, and definitely apologize for that, Iman. So we tend not to be late.
Iman, the big question, how did your rocket fly?
It went like an average way. A lot of people's things got either stuck in the parking lot or stuck in the trees.
And how about yours?
Mine landed like face down, like the point was like stuck in the ground.
Did you retrieve it? Was it in good shape?
Yeah.
So, last question for you, Iman. How did you like Starbase, Minnesota, and would you recommend it to other fourth and fifth graders?
I would recommend it because it was really, really fun.
And you learned a lot of good things.
Yeah, like we got to, like this one thing that we did with the in science, it wasn't as long as it was supposed to be because we got everything done faster because we learned a bunch of the stuff at Starbase.
That's great to hear. Thanks, Iman. Sergeant Pacheco, any final thoughts about Starbase, Minnesota?
Tom, I would just say Starbase is a great program, Department of Defense run program. The teachers are outstanding. The kids have a great time. I enjoy it. It gives me a chance to meet the kids and be working with the great staff at Starbase. And anybody who's interested in helping out kids, being a mentor to these kids, they just soak it up like sponges. And it's just a rewarding experience for me.
For our listeners, more information can be found at starbasemn.org, or you can go to our Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page, and we'll have a link for you. Kim, we're just about out of time. How can our listeners help?
Well, there's many ways to get involved. As Senior Master Sergeant Tony Pacheco described, get involved in the program as a guest speaker, giving tours, be a mentor. But if you'd also like to be an assistant in the classroom, you can do that too. Or if you want to give to Starbase Minnesota, we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we would gladly accept donations to help buy things like rockets and materials for the program.
Now, once again, you can find that at starbasemn.org or go to Minnesota Military Radio Facebook page. We'll have a link to it. Thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio. That was Kim Van Wee, Executive Director of Starbase Minnesota, Senior Master Sergeant Tony Pacheco, and our favorite guest, Iman, who participated in the Starbase Minnesota program. In a moment, we'll meet Minnesota's Veterans for Veterans organization right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll meet Minnesota's Veterans for Veterans organization. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor our African-American veterans, those serving today, and those who have served throughout history. Over 2 million of our veterans are African-American. Men and women, young and old, from every generation. African Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of all race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contributions African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about Minnesota V for V, Veterans for Veterans Organization, is Alex Bockham, a Wells Fargo philanthropic specialist. Alex, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Alex, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Wells Fargo?
Yeah, sure. So we work with Minnesota V4V and other nonprofit organizations to not only do their endowment management, but also to help them with all of these other things. So governance, grant management, back office support, those types of things.
So there's a number of organizations that you're active with and help navigate the funds that they oversee.
Correct. Both nonprofits and, in this case, foundations that are in trust form or corporate form. Yeah.
Okay. And can you give us a little background on Minnesota V4V, the Minnesota Veterans for Veterans Organization? How long has it been around? And
Yeah, so starting in 2006, I'm sure everybody knows Big Island, right, out there in Orono. So what ended up happening was the four veterans organizations had this Big Island camp out there, and they were able to sell that. And then via state statute, they were able to create this trust fund for the benefit of Minnesota veterans. And so from 2006 is when they were able to sell that island, and then in 2007 is when we started making grants.
So that was the veterans camp that was out in the middle of Lake Minnetonka for so many years, and I'm sure a lot of our veterans have been out there at one time or another. And the back in 2006, the city of Orono wanted to purchase it. Do you know why they purchased it?
Well, it started to kind of fall apart, and the city saw an opportunity not only to kind of remediate this land, but also to turn it into kind of a jewel, an attraction for the community.
So then the question comes up, when the city wanted to take it over, who gets the funds and what do you do with the funds? And was it up to the state legislature to decide that?
That's right. On this one, Tom, the state did a really good job here. So the state decided that since this was veterans' land and the veterans were parting with it, they should do something that would be valuable to the community. And so what ended up happening was the state set this money specifically aside into a trust that was to be governed by the four major veterans organizations: the American Legion, Military Order of the Purple Heart, the Disabled American Veterans, and the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
So our state legislature, for once, saw something that was happening and passed a statute to protect the funds and to use the funds for the good of veterans going forward.
That's right.
So they did a good job.
They did. They did. On this one, they did a good job.
All right. So then they went and sold this thing for, I understand, $5.7 million.
That's right.
And the state statute required that what was left of the purchase price after paying fees and taxes and whatever went into this trust, which is the Minnesota Veterans for Veterans Trust Fund.
Yeah, exactly right. So, and since then, we've been able to give out about $1.2 million worth of grants, and we still have that original corpus.
And we've done a good job with it since it was set up.
Yes. Wow. We like to think so, yeah.
First, you're telling me the legislature did a good job, and now we've taken good care of the money. That's a great deal. So the biggest four, American Legion, mm-hmm. Disabled Veterans, Military Order of the Purple Heart, and VFW, were entrusted to oversee the funds. And how did that work? Did they set up a board, and who's elected to the board, and how's that work?
That's right. So the board is comprised of eight members, two each from those four organizations. They have two-year appointments, and then every 2 years, they're either reappointed or rotate off. So we are able to preserve a lot of institutional memory by the ones that get reappointed, but then also get some fresh perspectives by the ones that cycle on.
Now, you said you've given out over $1 million worth of grants. How many grants would that be?
So it's roughly about 120 grants.
Okay.
Total.
So there's been a lot of requests, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of things gone over. The board, how do the grants work? Who's eligible for a grant and for what purposes?
Yeah, so primarily the board focuses on organizations. And this means nonprofit organizations that are serving veterans in the community, particularly Minnesota and then the surrounding states. So North Dakota, kind of that Red River Valley region, as well as just on the other side of Wisconsin. In terms of focus areas right now, it's transportation is a big deal, access. So whether that's a veteran's home, whether it's, in the community, adult day centers, but transportation, getting people to and from where they need to be.
Now, that fits hand in hand with the Minnesota Disabled Veterans because they provide a lot of transportation to get our veterans down to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. So do you help with their mission and their program? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, in fact, a couple of our grants have been to fund vans or van funds to do matching agreements where if they're just a few dollars short of a van, the V4V will step up and make sure that they get that so some of our rural veterans can really access these service centers.
So your grants, you've given out 120 of them for $1.2 million. They're relatively small grants, so when you get involved in something like a van, you help them raise funds with it, or maybe provide seed money, and then they go raise the rest from the general public?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, one of the strongest ways that V4V has been able to contribute beyond just the dollars is actually making those connections. These board members are so integrated into the veterans community that they can find either other foundations or other individuals that are willing to step up to the plate and put some money in.
We've been speaking with Alex Bachum, a Wells Fargo philanthropic specialist, about Minnesota V4V on Minnesota Military Radio. Okay, Alex, you said the focus areas include transportation and what else?
Yeah, so outreach is another big one. Recently, we gave a joint grant to these big four veteran service organizations to work together to do a joint outreach program. Also homelessness prevention, financial distress. So we work with a lot of organizations that work with our kind of our most vulnerable veterans to lift them out of poverty.
So, for instance, you'd be helping MACV with the stand downs to make sure that we try to eliminate homelessness among veterans.
That's right. That's right. And it may be in the form of outreach in a stand down scenario, or it may be something more like direct assistance where we have another program administer, actual aid. So whether that's a heating bill, home repair, things like that.
Okay, so we've got transportation, outreach. What else?
Yeah, and so it's been a pretty broad brush from there. We do some medical grants for things like HIPAA therapy, so the horse programs, dog therapy. There's been a few grants for that, a little bit into the traumatic brain injury. There's been one or two grants for that.
So we've had on the show, we've had in like paw pads where they have the dogs to help the veterans in the veterans' homes, and there was another program where some of the veterans could go out and go horseback riding and help them get over PTSD. Programs like that are the type of programs that you try to help.
Yeah, exactly right. And what's so great about Minnesota Veterans for Veterans is that it really is a gap filler. So it functions in that way a lot like a community foundation for veterans. So whatever that need is that's arisen in the veterans community, V4V is there to fill that space until the organizations are able to catch up with the need.
So, Alex, it sounds like you're helping to try to pull people together and giving them some money to kind of prime the pump and get them jump started on their programs and maybe get them to talk to each other and help where the missions where they can help each other instead of reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think what this board is so good at doing is looking at their grant requests as a whole. And seeing, okay, well, so we've got the American Legion doing this over here. We've got MACV doing that over there. And then making that introduction and saying, we're going to step forward as V4V and give some money in this area because we can see that you two would be able to work together on this project and really make some effect happen and really improve lives.
So a side benefit of the grants is we're pulling people together and helping them work together and achieve their goals.
That's right. And because the commissioner oversees it, and because the commanders are involved throughout the process in terms of previewing the grant applications, there's a lot of extra communication, a lot of extra connection that happens as a result of the process.
Great, Alex. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak with Alex Bachum from Wells Fargo a little bit more about the Minnesota V4V, Veterans for Veterans, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Alex Bachum from Wells Fargo, and he helps the Minnesota V4V, Veterans for Veterans, handle the grant funds that came from the sale of the Big Island Veterans Camp and by statute are set up in the Minnesota Veterans for Veterans Trust Fund. And, of course, it's supervised and the board is manned by members of the Minnesota American Legion, Disabled American Veterans Minnesota, Military Order of the Purple Heart, and Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars. Alex, we've been talking about the types of grants and the things that we focus on, and of course, veterans is the commonality, doing something to help veterans and veterans organizations help veterans and veterans for veterans. Makes sense to me. Is there a favorite grant that you can tell us about, and in the process, tell us about the grant process?
Sure. So two quick ones. The first one is a grant that was made to the Minnesota County Veterans Service Officers to bring in some national level training. This one is my favorite because really I think the CVSOs are so instrumental in getting veterans services that getting them the tools to do their jobs in the best way possible, I think that will really have a big ripple effect. My favorite one in terms of how much fun it was a site visit we had given a grant to Midwest Outdoors Unlimited. Ron Welly runs that operation. And that was for a turkey and deer hunt up at Camp Ripley. And so that grant, in terms of a site visit, going out and getting to see people, disabled veterans actually hunting, you know, got in the mix and got to see some turkeys and got to get out in the fields. So
a little different than sitting in your office downtown Minneapolis.
That's right. That's right.
Camp Ripley's a great place. And, of course, we've said over and over again on this show, any veteran needs any help for any reason, go see your county veteran service officer. So having Veterans for Veterans helping all of our county veteran service officers learn more about resources, what a great grant idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of the process, it's pretty easy. You head out to the website. You go through the application process. It's an online application. You submit it. The board reviews it. Typically, they'll ask if they have any questions. They'll bring you in for an interview either on the phone or in person. And then within a couple of months, they'll have a decision to you, and the funds will be out the door.
So if anyone's interested in requesting a grant, you go to mnv4v.org. Or, of course, you can go to Minnesota Military Radio's Facebook page, and Sergeant Ben will have all the links up there. And go to that website, and once again, then there's a form there they fill out and submit.
That's right. That's right.
And how long does it take for the grants to be processed usually? I know it's a volunteer board, so it's probably takes
sure.
a little time.
from start to finish, actually, from when you first apply to when you actually receive the grant funds, generally it takes something around 2 months.
A couple of months. So if you've got something coming up this summer, better get started.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. The sooner the better.
And do you ever get to meet any of the folks that, besides the turkey hunt up at Camp Ripley? We're going to talk to your boss about that. We'll have to get you up to Camp Ripley again. Do you ever get to meet any of the recipients of this?
Yeah, that's probably one of the best parts about working with this board. I mean, if it's not in the interview stage, part of what I do for the board is conduct site visits and follow up to make sure that these funds are being used for what they wanted, for what the grant purpose was. So, and that's really, that piece is so essential because there are so many organizations that want to help veterans, and making sure that there's actual follow-up there to see it through, that helps this whole thing get done.
We're speaking with Alex Bacham from Wells Fargo about in Minnesota, V4V, Veterans for Veterans, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Alex, you said there was about 120 grants. I assume some of these board members have been around since the first day. Is there overlap? Are you the institutional memory?
Well, we have part of it, but not all of it. I mean, the expertise of people like Dean Ashman, Jerry Tooze, Al Holton, Marlon Ronning, Hank Sadler, and then even the relatively new board members of Dave Adams, Bill Cochran, Don Pancake. I mean, that is so key in making this whole thing function. So while we do the administration, it's really their knowledge of the veterans community and how they've been participants their entire lives in this community. That's what makes these grants so successful.
Sounds like a vibrant, caring board. We had Commander Pancake on the show a few times last year, and he was pounding on the table right there where you're sitting. And I'm sure he gets excited about some of these things.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really a fantastic group to work with, and I'm sure they'd be glad to come back. So,
Alex, is there anything our listeners can do to help V4V?
You know, I think just stay active, check out the website. V4V really takes a pretty passive approach in terms of fundraising, but if people are looking for grants to participate in or looking for good projects or even want to run an example grant by the board because they do have that experience, we're more than happy to take a look.
So once again, more information about this organization can be found at mnv4v.org. And we'll have a link up to that on their Minnesota Military Radio website. Alex, we've just got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts about Minnesota V4V? And must be really fun to be involved with these guys.
You know, it really is. It really is a pleasure. This is one of our favorite clients, one of our favorite relationships. So we just want to continue to see them do good work and help them any way that we can.
It's nice to see and hear that they're giving out all these grants to help veterans, and they've given away all this money, but they've still got pretty much the principal left there, and they might be doing this for years and years. You might make a career out of this, Alex.
I'm hoping to.
Alex, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
All right, thank you, Tom.
That was Alex Bacham, a Wells Fargo philanthropic specialist, helping us learn today about Minnesota V4V, Veterans for Veterans. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Cindy, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Sergeant Major, I understand you've been up to Camp Ripley all week. Could you find it in the snow, and what's going on up there?
There was a lot of snow up there, that's true. But we were originally up there for the enlisted promotion boards. For our specialists, they were looking to be promoted to sergeant. So we do these boards every year, and they're held between now and the middle of May. And we typically start with our junior non-commissioned officer promotions, and then we work our way up to the seniors in May. And as a result of these boards, we have an order of merit promotion list established by their career management fields. For instance, for our infantry specialists wanting to be promoted to sergeant, they're evaluated against each other by more senior infantry soldiers who know what it takes to be successful in that field. And then they're rank ordered to be promoted successively whenever a position becomes vacant. And we do that for each of the fields.
Sergeant Major, what types of things are considered by the board when they're determining who should be higher on the promotion list than others?
You know, we take a lot of things into consideration. We look at the total soldier. So that could include everything from, you know, their leadership potential to their job performance, their physical fitness, their education level, to even their dedication and attitude. And community service plays in there as well. We want our soldiers to be well-rounded in many technical and tactical areas before they're promoted to the next rank. And for our junior NCOs, they also get points for awarded for things like awards they've received or their weapons qualification scores, their civilian higher education, and then some other areas. But for our senior NCOs, their evaluations from their immediate and subsequent supervisors are very important in determining their future potential.
Sergeant Major, have your efforts to place female soldiers in combat units affected how these boards are going to be conducted this year, since now many of these female soldiers can serve in units and positions that were previously closed to them?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. The conduct of the board remains the same, but what's different this year in response to these new assignment opportunities for our female soldiers is that now when there's a vacancy in one of our affected combat arms units, the next person on the promotion list will get that position, regardless of whether or not they're female. Previously, we would have had to skip over a female on the list, even though she may have been the highest soldier on the list, simply because the position precluded females. Now we get to ensure our most qualified soldiers, male or female, get the positions as they become available in these units, and that's pretty exciting.
Sergeant Major, I know promotion season is always exciting in the military, even back when I was in it.
Absolutely.
And now with the increased opportunities available for all our soldiers, it probably takes on a new excitement this year, doesn't it?
You know, it really does. This type of talent management really ensures that we're able to place our best soldiers where they're needed, the right person for the right position at the right time. So being able to tap into the skill sets, experience, and perspectives of every soldier in our force will only make us stronger going forward, and I'm excited about that.
You're doing some great work, Sergeant Major. Thanks for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, the Starbase team, Alex Bacham, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we get an American Legion update, and 70 years later, we'll hear about Minnesota's contributions to World War II and Rome and Normandy. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.